This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face to Face Games.
Ladies and gentlemen. For the original.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, buckers? I'm Kevin Metal.
I'm Chef Tony.
And I'm Tristan Gregson, and tonight on Heavy Meta, we all learned something. That's apparently that it's balls hot in Canada, which I didn't even know was possible. Even though I visited in the summer, it was just kind of humid. Yeah, long story short, you know, Kevin and I are in Southern California now, and we were rapping before the show about how, you know, back in the day, before we'd officially get started, it was like, hey, can you hear my AC unit? Hey, can you hear my fan? You know, again, having been in the dungeon, it is balls hot in there all the time. But I am now one of the SoCal kin, where it is insane how warm it is here. And before we even got started, of all people to make sure the sound check is right for their AC unit, it happens to be the guy in the Great White North,
in Canada,
fucking Tony, telling us it's hot out.
It's hot.
Yeah, it's like 30 up here.
That's, well, yeah. How mean is that?
Dude, what the fuck does that mean?
It's
hot.
It's 109. I'm looking at the fucking, the weather. It's 109. Right.
That's ridiculous. That's fucking crazy.
I have gotten lucky, though. One of the things, not fear, but like one of the things I was kind of worried about with this job at the railroad is we work outside a lot and we're out on the track a lot where there's not much shelter other than our trucks and stuff. And this summer, you know, I know how it gets in the summer here. And luckily, so far, my boss has been pretty damn cool about, you know, I guess helping us acclimate to the heat. And so we've been doing a lot of like, hey, guys, let's get out there first thing this morning, because I get to work at 5. You know, it's like, let's get out there first thing this morning and we'll work from, you know, 5:30 till 8, 9-ish at the most. And then the rest of the day, it's like, hey, let's do little menial piddly shit that involves being inside our equipment and trucks so that there's an air conditioner, or hey, just go drive around and don't get in trouble for the remaining half of the day. So I haven't had to have too many days where I'm just out there swinging a fucking hammer or doing something out on the fucking track, like in this heat, which is nice. But I also realize that this may not last too much longer, because we do actually have to get things accomplished. You know, we do have the trains on the tracks, and there's a few more months of this kind of bullshit weather. And so, I'm not going to be happy about that when, you know, it does get, you know, it's 109 right now. It does get hotter than that. You know, it'll hit 115 around here somewhat frequently. In the summer. And like me being outside during that is going to suck. And also, luckily, they're super crazy. You know, the last thing a multi-billion-dollar company wants is fucking people dropping like flies to heat stroke. So like they make us take breaks every 10, 15 minutes to fucking hydrate and get in the shade and stuff. So that's always a plus too. My old job, my boss,
it's a plus that they work you into the edge of death, yes. But then...
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like
multiple times in a row.
No, my old boss would dead serious, because we'd be out in the same fucking heat in the summer doing some other fucking project, and he would just be like, if I can fucking handle it, you can fucking handle it. You're 20 years younger than me. And you just had to fuck it up. And I'm like, fuck you, man. But this company is like, you know, it's a large corporation, and they're like, yeah, we don't need people dying, so you guys have to make sure you're taking, like, constant breaks and hydrating and shit. So I feel pretty confident that I'm not going to die, at least a heat stroke, at my job. There's a lot of other things that may kill me, but.
Nice.
Side note real quick. This morning while I was in my big fucking loader plowing the track, maybe 50 yards away from me on the main road of town, I watched a dude fucking go ape shit crazy off the side of the road, plow through a fucking fence and hit a power pole, which blew the transformer and scared the shit out of me, because three poles down where he hit the fucking transformer, all of the fucking wires were fucking going ape shit crazy directly above the cab of my fucking loader. And I'm like, well, shit, this might be a problem, because if those lines come down, they're landing on me. Luckily, they didn't. Luckily, the dude was okay, but then they also, we found out later, they took him for driving under the influence of methamphetamines. But the important part is he didn't knock the fucking power lines down on top of my fucking loader, which would have been a great way to fucking end my career.
That's not the important part. The important part was that you were not even an hour late.
Yeah.
That's the important part.
That's right. That's right. We got this thing started semi on time today.
I just like how
it's pretty good. It's pretty
instead
good.
Instead of, like, you picture the desert and you picture, like, tumbleweeds going by, but in Ridgecrest, where the crazy crackheads are, mm-hmm. instead you've got guys in trucks barreling by in the
yeah.
desert trying to avoid that shit.
Yeah, trying to avoid crazy fucking tweakers. I mean, it's like in Trona, it's definitely, it's way worse than Richard's. It's tiny. There's really not much there. There's like one main road that goes through town, and that town's only there because of the fucking chemical plant. And yeah, apparently this dude was the town's there because of the chemical plant and because of all the fucking meth labs that are there. And apparently this dude was heading to one of those meth labs and fucking lost control. And
or he was heading away from one. You're not entirely sure.
Well, actually, we're pretty sure. My boss, because we saw it happen. My boss was standing there. He's like, oh, shit. So he called security to have them get our fire and medical response unit out there. And the guy comes walking up, and he's just, oh, hey, man, who'd you call? And he's like, I called our security. He's like, oh, why'd you call them? I thought you were calling me a tow truck. And his, like, pupils are fucking bigger than his eyeballs. And we're just all, what the fuck, dude? So after this whole little, you know, once the authorities and whatnot arrived and they were getting all everything hashed out, my boss, while we were out doing other shit, went over to go talk to the guy. Went over to go talk to the emergency units that were over there and was hanging out. And they kind of filled him in on, apparently this dude said that he's from down in the L.A. area somewhere. And he was heading to Trona to visit a certain guy, and then of course when they realize the dude's blown out on fucking meth, they're like, oh, so which guy were you coming to visit here in the middle of fucking Trona? And they started hammering him about that. So it sounds like homeboy was on his way to his fucking dealer, and I don't know, must have been trying to fucking do a line off his center console while he was going around a corner, and it didn't work out well for him.
But
yeah,
seriously, who hasn't done that?
Yeah, I know who
has. I've got to imagine that Trona supplies a lot more than just Trona with methamphetamines, because
oh, yeah.
considering what I hear the population is, you probably only need the one meth trailer there. So if there's more than one, then yeah, you're exporting
yeah, you're probably,
that stuff.
Yeah, probably.
Far.
From what I yeah. hear, it's it, like the even the dealers there, because it's a chemical plant and they do like fucking, they burn off stuff, and it makes a god-awful fucking sulfur smell when they do it. But, like, like these fucking meth labs, like, time their shit so that they're doing it while the chemical plant is doing its thing so you can't smell it. It's fucking crazy. They got shit down to a science. I mean, I guess it is science. But
they should make a show out of this.
Yeah, no shit. They actually, there is a movie.
It's fucking crazy.
There is a movie about Trona. If you ever get a fucking chance and you just want to find something to watch, I think I've talked about it on here before, but it's a movie called Just Add Water, and it's got I know Danny DeVito's in it. Justin Long is in it. Who's that fucking, the kid from Superbad? God damn it.
Jonah Hill?
Jonah Hill, yeah. Jonah Hill's in it. And then the other, like the main character from the movie, I recognize him by face, but I'd never know what his name is. But yeah, it was like an independent flick that they did. And it's filmed in Trona and it's about Trona, and they fucking nailed it to the fucking wall. It was like Justin Long's character in that is fucking hilarious. He's like the neighborhood fucking drug dealer. He just like doesn't wear a shirt and he's got a gold chain on and a shitty mustache and just rides a fucking dirt bike around the streets of the town. And like, oh dude, it's fucking hilarious. I've never seen anybody nail Trona more than that movie. But yeah, if you get a chance, it's called Just Add Water and you should watch it because it's fucking hilarious the way that they nail that town. And that's where I work.
Huh.
So anyway, we can get off random bullshit. I'm sure we got some things to talk about.
Well, come on, man. We got a new set that came out this week.
We do.
It's like all crazy. Like, not really. I don't know. Here's the thing. I have been a little more removed from Magic than I usually have been in the past. You know, when I first came down to LA, you may recall my chronicles of trying to find a spot to FNM at. And now, like, you know, working the production assistant, who knows what your schedule is going to be like, I have not had a chance to keep up with the game so much. So
you did actually get a job?
I'm working a couple different gigs right now. Okay. Some I can talk about, some I can't talk about. We'll save that for later in the show.
Okay.
But I am not in the unemployed bracket currently, which is, yeah.
That's always a good place.
It's a good spot to be. As much as I was enjoying student life, and we were talking with Dave on the show in the past, where it's like you're in that weird area where it's like you're slightly older than the average college student, but you're still living the life like you're fucking 20 or 21, where you're like, I guess I could do something. It's like, but I also don't mind the taste of ramen. That's fine.
No shit. It's easier to just like the taste of ramen.
So, you know, for me, I couldn't believe all, you know, because if I'm not playing that much and I'm not going out there at least to FNM every week, you know, Reddit is kind of like the last lifeline of you just check it every day, because obviously any big news stories are going to hit, you're going to see stuff. And obviously all this speculation the last couple months of Emrakul coming to the Innistrad plane just made me laugh, because I was like, how stupid is that? Like, can't we just keep our spaghetti monster world free of our sweet gothic horror world? Like, they don't need to intermix like that. You know, like, keep the full flavor where it is. But instead, we've gone gangbusters, and there are spaghetti monsters in the same place that you're going to find
Werewolf,
Dracula and the Wolfman. And people fucking go apeshit for it. So it just makes me feel old and completely out of place, like I have no fucking idea what's going on.
Get off my lawn syndrome?
Kind of. A little bit. I'm not full Maddie. I'm not wearing the New Balances yet. Like, I still walk around.
Hey, those are Nikes, and those are pretty nice.
Yeah, I actually found a New Balance store down here, and I wanted to take photos and send them and just be like, oh, I found the old man convention. But I didn't have time. Next time I'm in the area, I'll do it, though.
He straightened me out, though, because I saw New Balance owns Warrior Hockey, and like Warrior had tweeted something about getting a job as a product tester for New Balance. And I was like, oh, my God, Maddie! So it's your dream job. And he set me straight. He says he doesn't wear New Balance anymore. He says that
bullshit.
They made him mad, and he went over to something else. Another one of those fucking old man shoes, I'm sure, but I forget.
Yeah, he must be upgrading. Maddie must be leaving his 40s faster than I thought. I guess he's moving to loafers real quickly or something. No, I don't know, man.
He says he's off the New Balances. He says he was wearing, and I forget what it was.
They're not good for lawn bowling, let's be honest. And that's,
maybe that's what it is. He's
entering next.
Fucking penny loafers.
Anyway, as crazy as this game has gotten with, you know, things like crossovers like this, Magic is such a good place that you can have an entire set that already has a rich source material led by a character that wasn't like a lead character from a product that at this point is almost 6 years old. That's fucking awesome that this game is so strong that Spaghetti Monster the Creature is a big enough name that it can not only headline a set, but be its own fucking set symbol.
And go as far as to, like, for them to try to keep this buried, as much as all the speculation was there anyway, but for them to try to keep this buried, like, they didn't release the set symbol. They didn't fucking, like, they wouldn't give a lot of information that they normally do out strictly because it all just pointed to fucking Emrakul. And
more importantly, none of it got leaked.
Yeah, that's true. Somehow they kept a lid on it.
Like, it's not like they always try and keep the secret. That's what they always try and do. But it always gets fucking leaked, and something always gets ruined in spoiler season, at least like a little bit. And they've been doing like much, much better. Like even the Shadows release at like GP Detroit, where you would solve the fucking mystery room, and then they spoiled some cards. Like, that shit was on. That was awesome.
Yeah,
and if we had have seen those cards already, it would have sucked like a big time. Mm-hmm. And if we had have seen the set symbol and saw that it was Liliana's head that also looks like Emrakul, like it's her crown and Emrakul.
It would have just given you, like, everything fucking... Right.
People would have been like, now I definitely know, versus what happened for the last 2 weeks, which people were like, yeah, we're pretty sure, but can you please just tell us so we're not crazy?
Yeah, people have been going nuts over, like, picking apart artwork and just seeing shit. And they did a good job with that, too, like hiding it in artwork, but, like, and just enough of it there to... like, you know, make you doubt, well, that could or couldn't be, like, you know, just a weird, like, little quarter of the side of him, you know, coming out in the clouds, and people are like, oh, that's definitely it, and then everybody else is all, those are clouds, you're fucking stupid. And, like, it, they kept it, you know, under wraps enough, and yet still gave people some hints and some information about it. It was pretty cool.
Yep. I finally found and a use for the card, Ugin's Nexus.
Oh, yeah? I don't even remember what that card does.
It's just it's a 5-mana mythic
that
artifact.
Extra turn?
Yeah, it's players can't take extra turns.
Oh.
And then if you can destroy it, you take an extra turn. So you can have it in play, cast Emrakul, Mindslaver them, and then they don't get the turn.
Oh.
And then if you can destroy it somewhere, it goes back to your turn, you get an extra turn.
That's pretty fucking cool.
That's like, I'm going to put that in my cube as a new combo.
I like that.
It's pretty narrow, but all right, that's whatever.
I have Time Walk and stuff like that. I always love Shrapnel Blasting that.
Time Walk?
No, the Ugin's
Nexus. Oh, Ugin's Nexus. I was like, wait,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, take five, then I take another turn.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's fucking crazy. Oh, shit. I just fucking forgot what I was going to say. Couldn't have been that important. So, what do you think of this fucking Emrakul? Like, actually, as a card. I mean, other than your Ugin's Nexus little combo.
I'm going to tell people to get off my lawn when I talk about it, so maybe I'll go last.
I don't really know. I haven't really thought about it too much, but it's probably going to cost 10 mana,
yeah,
which is actually no problem because the decks that ramp out the mana like that basically only have artifact and sorcery.
Yeah.
Some of them are playing fetch lands, maybe, but not really. It's like, if it's like a Tron style deck, you have an expedition map into Sylvan Scrying. So maybe by the time you get there, it's 10 mana, but Mindslaver's cool. It's on, we've proven that on cast stuff is cool. We pay 10 mana for Mindslaver with the Mindslaver card.
Yeah. It's
so now we can just have this. I don't know.
It seems fun. It seems neat. I like more the flavor of what they did with it. You know, like the shit we were talking about before, more than anything. This definitely isn't up my alley at all as far as cards that I would play. So, I mean, I look at it and I'm like, oh, I mean, it's Emrakul. It's a different Emrakul. Right on. Good for you guys that play with cards like that. But I have a whole different game plan, so, you know, not as big a deal
it
for me.
It costs about six times as much mana as things you would usually cast, Kevin.
Yep.
So it makes
exactly
sense.
Exactly.
This isn't exactly in your ballpark.
Yep.
There was an A-Team episode intro where Jay Boosh said, I'm not old as fuck, and I don't play EDH. So I don't like Mindslaver.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe you just need to be old as fuck or play EDH to love this card.
Yeah.
I think you're in the ballpark here, Tony, because I played a lot in the limited environment that had Croson Cloud Scraper, which is really kind of what this card is, which is a vanilla 13-13 when it's all said and done. Like, obviously, cards of this size and stature, you're looking to reanimate and abuse. What?
It can't just be like sword. It's got protection from spells or something like that.
Protection from instance, right?
Yeah. All right. Well.
All right. All right. So it's better than Croson Cloud Scraper. But for all intents and purposes, it gets blocked by Scion tokens. You know, like,
yeah,
it's not exactly
earth
shattering if
it's
just chilling in play.
It is flying.
What? It's flying too? God, I am out of it.
Yeah, flying, trample, and protection.
Oh, the old one flew.
There we go.
Okay, all right. This guy is better
than
I thought.
The old flew. Yeah, 13-13.
I thought it was protection.
I love wildly speculating first. Okay, now let's read the card. It's 13-13 that costs one less for each card type in your graveyard. So that delirium bullshit. And that's what I was saying. Like, if you're playing a Tron style big mana ramp deck, you're probably only going to have sorcery and artifact, or you build your deck to have instant and your deck's bad. Or maybe you have Lightning Bolt. That might be a good instant for Tron to play.
Yeah.
Or you're playing mono blue. There you go. That makes sense. It probably fits in a mono blue there with a Thirst for Knowledge and a Chump Blocked Treasure Mage. And like a land or something. Or sorry, an artifact, like an expedition map. And then you cast this thing for like 9 mana.
Right.
And when you cast it, You gain control of target opponent during that player's next turn, so Mindslaver them. Mm. Then it says after that turn, that player takes an extra turn.
Right.
Simple.
And then Flying Trample, Protection from Instance.
Flying Trample, Protection from Instance.
All right, it also has Trample. We are confirming Trample.
Yes.
Trample.
Trample, Confirm. All right.
Now I can adequately assess this card. Because that top half, that first paragraph, I was very familiar with. And then I saw Protection from Instance, and I like stopped reading for some reason, thinking that was where it was at. So that is considerably better than the first time I read this card, because I definitely looked at it and was like, oh, it's a EDH game, like super curveball attached to a fat vanilla body. But no, this is definitely a win condition. And you know, as this show is prone to do with Maddie as the predecessor and now Tony, very balls deep in Modern. I like how that's the first thing we go to where it's like, you know, is this something worth tronning to? Obviously one of the shortcomings, exactly. One of the shortcomings with the card Mindslaver in the Tron decks in the past was you couldn't Iabugan for it. You couldn't reliably get to it. You just kind of had to have it on the natural or board in enough of them to control matchup. As where this guy kind of, you know, it's easier to have it as a one-off kind of opportunity to pick it up. Is it enough of a breakout? I mean, is this like just not going to be very interesting in a world of Nahiris and seven mana Karns and the same kind of shenanigans we're already doing? I don't have those answers. I could definitely pose those questions to the Modern guy, because I think I kept looking at this card, and even as we tack on reasonable abilities to it for it to be good and standard, I still, every time I read it, I'm like, oh man, this is an EDH dream for everybody. Where they're going to sit in a circle and it's like, oh, you got six shit on the board and who knows what you're going to do when you untap with your second turn. Like, let's play nice. So I'm going to, you know, only like use your board to attack this guy and not mess you up and do all those kind of things. Like, that's really what I saw every time I saw this. And less like, oh, this is just Mindslaver with legs. That's fucking sick.
Right. Okay. So the thing that I saw that actually made this card, interesting to me is the, you guys are on Mythic Spoiler, right? You didn't just look up the card?
Yeah, I'm on Mythic Spoiler.
Coax from the Blind Eternities.
Yeah.
This card is Elkrog's
about that.
Wish. So now that I see both of these two cards, Emrakul is the tits in standard.
Yeah. You can just put it
I'm super happy with this.
Just leave them in your sideboard and that works.
You can play,
so if
you can play
if
like
you're
a bunch
not
of them,
getting your Emrakul. As if you're not tutoring for Ulamog? Emrakul for the long game, what are you usually tutoring for with this card?
Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger. It's just double Vindicate. That's insane. You can have a Kozilek if you're out of cards. If this is your last card, you just go get a Kozilek, cast the Kozilek, and draw seven cards.
Wow. That's kind of crazy.
Just put one of each of these guys in your sideboard.
So I was wondering how this, like...
in your main deck anyways, right?
Right.
Like, you want two Ulamogs, but now you get a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth Ulamog.
That's fucking crazy.
And the chance to draw them anyways, but if you have to pass through
them, like, you know, obviously that was like the flavor of the Coax for Blind Eternities. Like, it, you know, it lines right up. But I was like, okay, well, did they actually fucking hit this or not? Like, is this going to be playable or is this a cute thing that, like, you know, it's supposed to be like that? Oh, look, you're summoning, you know, you're going to go summon up Emrakul from some other plane and bring him over. Or if it actually has real game implications. And it sounds like, yes, it definitely does.
There's so many turns where you can just cast Thirst for Knowledge in a blue deck or Factor Fiction and you just don't die. So if you can cast that on turn 4 or 5, then you can definitely have a card in your deck that you can't really cast until turn 7 or 8, or you don't really want to cast until turn 7 or 8. But that's like, well, currently in standard, what the fuck is it called? It's the blue Instant Wrath. Oh God, I gotta look it up.
Yeah, you're definitely not getting that information out of me.
I know. Okay, so it's a 4-mana blue instant. Okay, well, it's a 4-mana blue instant that returns all creatures with toughness less than the number of islands you control to their hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So
the, after
turn 5, exactly, right? They're already playing this. They're already playing two Ulamog. So don't tell me like that somewhere in there you can like have this Coax from the Blind Eternities in your hand and be like, yeah, well, I guess I'm going to take this turn off, and then the next turn you have 8 mana, and you cast this, and then you untap, and you play your land, and then you just get whatever Eldrazi you want.
I mean, that sounds like it's slightly more fun than making a million zombies. The question is it better? I mean, is the metagame going to kind of shift where it would become relevant? because the mono blue decks are working on such a small margin to begin with, where it's like you really need to finally weave together this super annoying, convoluted, gain a bunch of life off your fucking crystal rods or whatever the current version of that is, plan to do something where it's like, is this giving you a diverse plan of attack? Like, you know, again, you're watching people play standard a lot right now too, where it's like, you know, is the blue deck's plan easily disruptible? And is this new card giving them new angles of attack that is worth kind of jumping through slightly? You know, you got to go to an extra hoop. You got to coax something out of it and then go off.
So think about it this way. What if the big blue control deck could go get Reality Smashers?
I forget what that card does.
Like, if you cast Coax
in the... That's the 5/5 guy, the Hasty one that you've got to be able to discard a card just to target it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you cast this on turn 3 and then that on turn 5 or whatever.
I mean, it's
kind of
cool.
So then you can switch
from
being this big blue mod ramp deck to, like, some aggressive, you know. There's... Reality Smasher is a
toolbox
fucking insane magic card. Yeah.
Since those blue decks right now, I feel like every one of those first few turns is so critical to making their plan work. And if they're not, you know, casting Washout or whatever that new one is that returns guys, like, if they're not hitting those cards on curve and doing that properly, they're probably going to get rolled over, which makes me wonder, you know, is Coax the Blind Eternities just like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's whatever. You're going to cast on turn 8, turn 9, and at that point it doesn't matter what you're using. Or is it diverse enough? Like, you know, getting a Thought-Knot Seer in a deck like this seems like it'd be way better because you're trying to stop, you know, your plan from being disrupted, or shit, it could even be good in the mirror, who knows. I'm not sure. It seems like a lot of fun. I just don't know if it's going to make the leap to competitive. But you know way more than I do nowadays, Tony, so I'm looking for you.
Well, we'll have to see what the rest of the set comes, because if there's no mono red in standard right now. There's like a mono white aggressive deck, but there's also Languish, which is -4/-4 instead of like a Wrath effect. But then there's a 6-mana exile everything. So, like, there's still a control deck that takes care of everything, and there's no, like, mono red decks right now. So that's why these blue dirtly decks can totally play, like, 3 Ulamogs in their main deck. And, like, literally just Islands and Anticipates and a few counterspells. So we'll see. Maybe you won't be able to...
Super aggressive to keep it in check.
Yeah, and honestly, the super aggressive decks can't beat the... What the fuck is it called? How have I not looked it up yet? I'm a terrible host.
You're a terrible host. I don't know what most
the new instant speed, the new Washout. I mean, Washout's from Invasion. It costs 4 mana, and you return all guys of a certain color. And this is very similar to the same cast of Gosh, although this is an instant. I know.
Engulf
the shores.
There we go.
I'm the old...
Hey, some of the people who listen to the show still fucking play Magic, okay?
Yeah, I know. Hey, I'd love to play more Magic, man. I just got almost all of my EMA foils. I still don't have a fucking Dak Faden because fuck that card, but my cube has been updated. I want to play some more Magic. I just haven't had a chance, and I haven't cultivated the F&M crowd down here enough to put 8 people in front of even the proxy cube yet. We're still working on that.
Well, you got job stuff, and now you got a new child too. So
I do. I do. There's actually a kitten I'm holding on right now that's asleep, so she won't make sound into the microphone because I am indeed a parent, and I'm trying to stay away from human children because they're way more of a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
We brought the kitten home like 6 days ago. We had a wedding anniversary. And my wife and I weren't able to sleep the first few nights because the kitten had been in with her rest of her litter. So she had like, you know, human contact when she was sleeping. Or not human contact. She had, like, body heat contact when she was sleeping. So she'd want to sleep on somebody. Mm-hmm. But she'd have to get up every few hours because we don't really know where the bathroom is yet, all that kind of stuff. So then the next few days, like, we're joking, like, oh, man, you know, it's a good thing we didn't have a kid. Like, ha, ha, ha. Like, this, we're trying this parenting thing slow. And then, like, offhandedly, I was like, yeah, you know, if the cat dies, no one goes to jail. And then she's like, wow, that went dark. And I was like, what? It's the truth. Like, this is why we have a cat. Like, if things go super south, she falls in the toilet, everything's still okay for our lives.
Yeah, nobody's going to prison. And then we just rethink whether we want to have a child at some point.
Yeah, like, this is why we like, you go, when you start learning the bowl, you have the bumpers up, and then she's like, I got this, let's do it for real.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully
my cat is like a walking flotation device, but you know, it's safe.
Yeah, I get you. No, that cat's fucking adorable, by the way.
I do. I got you back on Facebook because now you can see photos all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got some good pictures.
People got to realize like that. I think that's the reason I'm on Facebook more than anything else. The reason I came back to Facebook is just so I could look at pictures of Tristan's cat.
Yeah, pretty much.
What?
That's why everyone should have Facebook.
The thing is, once you crest 30, everyone you fucking know, especially when you went to fucking high school with, is posting photos of their goddamn kids every fucking week. And you can't reason with them. You
awesome.
Can't stop them. And if you, like, unfriend, like, James that you had math class with in high school, he'll message you and be like, "What's wrong, bro? I thought we were cool." And you're like, "Dude, you're so tired seeing your fucking kid all the time. Like, that's great. She wears pants. So does everyone else. Congratulations."
It just reminds me how lucky I am every day. I can barely take care of myself, guys.
You'll get there eventually.
Which is weird because you can cook. I can't cook.
Yeah, right?
Like, if it wasn't for Del Taco, I'd have a problem. But Tony can cook himself.
Yeah, that's true. I have a cat through marriage. My girlfriend had a cat when we got
you
together.
Have a
her name's
step cat.
Yeah, exactly, right? Right. It's pretty funny. And the cat's name's Harvest, and she's a double coat, exotic short hair. So she's like super, super thick coat, and it's obviously really hot up here. So we've been, because it's Canada,
hot.
It's so hot because Canada.
33 degrees.
So I've been brushing her, and I told my girlfriend and I were talking about like getting a kitten maybe or whatever, and then we discovered that if we wanted a kitten, we could just brush the cat and make one. Out of all the fur that comes off.
Make an extra cat, yeah.
So, yeah, make an extra cat. So we, like, brush the cat every day and just make a new kitten. And we're like, oh, yeah, this is what it'd be like, yeah. So we're just sticking to one.
I should fuck with you, Tony, and I should just add your girlfriend on Facebook and then just keep incessantly posting kitten photos. And then eventually you'll be sitting here on the podcast with a kitten as well.
I will destroy you.
You're welcome to fly down here. I'm sure you're acclimated to the heat already.
Fight. Yeah, no shit. Oh, my God. Weren't we talking about Magic cards? And then, sorry, I sidetracked
you
with kittens.
Hey, as any good Magic the Gathering podcast will do, you'll segue between your house pets and the topic at hand.
This is true.
Okay, well, we were talking about spoilers, and there's only one card left. So, someone want to read that shit?
And it's
Tristan,
not,
you read it so we can talk about it, because I've read it and Kevy doesn't care.
Ulrich of the Carlin Horde, or Kraylin Horde.
That's,
you've got
that's the name of the clan that Dustwatch recruits on the other side. Kraylin Horde.
You've got a green, a red, and three colorless for a legendary creature, human werewolf. It's finally happening, kids. Everyone bust out the GIF.
Yeah.
Whenever this creature enters the battlefield or transforms into Ulrich of the Kraylin Horde, so if he flips back to the front side, target creature gets +4/+4 until end of turn. Ew, you could even do it to your opponent's creatures, then you can then cast Reprisal on them. Yay, old cards. At the beginning of your upkeep, obviously, if no spells were cast, transform him into Ulrich Uncontested Alpha, the legendary creature werewolf. On this side, whenever this creature transforms, you may have it fight target non-werewolf creature you don't control. So hopefully it's a machine gun eater of your opponent's guys. And then obviously at the beginning of your upkeep, once again, if two spells were cast by a player, flip it back to the opposite side. The big question, is this the new Huntmaster of the Fells? Is this the new Flame Tongue Goblin? I have no idea. Or is it some completely new thing that no one gives a fuck about? Because, man, does that seem like a lot of mana to have a guy that doesn't seem to do anything other than creature combat. But hey, who knows? That's magic.
See, I still feel like Huntmaster is just a stronger card altogether. And looking at this, I mean, like, not that I care too much about werewolves, but I care more about that than I do giant spaghetti monsters. And, like, I don't know. I looked at it a couple times, and it still just seems underwhelming, because, I don't know. At least with Huntmaster, like, it was a 4-4 when it flipped, but, I mean, you got the wolf, you got your little wolf creatures, the 2-2s, and you got, you gained life. Like, this, it's just, you know, you can give another creature 4-4. Oh, I guess target creature, I mean, when it transforms back over, I mean, I get, no, you wouldn't really care to give the front side of this. I mean, you could give itself... the 4-4.
Yeah, he could be an 8-8.
Yeah, but it's like...
Yeah, remember, when he's transforming back, he doesn't have summoning sickness. So, in theory...
That's true. When he comes back over,
you
can give it to yourself.
Your 6-6 is even more fearsome as a human again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and that just transforming to, like, you know, when it's transformation. I mean, a 6-6, a decent-sized body, but, like, just having it fight a non-werewolf, it just seems underwhelming. And for 5 mana, it just, I don't know, doesn't seem that good. I could be wrong, because I
this card might be this card might be secretly awesome.
It might
I'm actually just looking up. There's a werewolf that when your werewolves come into play, they flip. They just automatically flip.
Is that Immerwolf?
Oh yeah, yeah.
What the fuck is it called? Is it green?
Is that,
I'm trying to look through the spoilers.
I thought it was. Is that one red green or is that one just red?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I remember Immerwolf being a good werewolf card or for a werewolf tribal deck, but I don't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah. That was like a limited archetype build me around the original Innistrad. And I drafted Shadows a few times. I remember that
or
guy
is it,
being strong.
Or is it the werewolf
name.
Fog?
No, not you're thinking of like Moon
Mist. Yeah,
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, no, there's
but I thought,
there's
I,
a new
didn't
a new card.
Them?
It does. What the fucking card is this? And I can't look it up on my Wicked Awesome Decked app because I'm pretty sure it's a new card.
Ah.
So it's like not on the app yet, even
what
though
set was it from?
Oh wait, no, this is it's Shadows, right?
Yeah,
Shadows.
Fuck,
I can look
yeah.
this up. Anyways.
You'll be able to.
I'll
have to look through and find it.
Yeah. I got this. Very professional. Talk about something. Dead air.
Yeah, dead air! Hey, we're good at that.
See, you can tell,
Mayor.
Tony has to do the stream all the time now because he's super concerned about three guys chilling, not saying anything. When you gotta remember, it's not like people are watching.
Fuck.
No, it's not just that.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Like, you're
it.
Not
yeah,
watching
cool,
people play
it.
Magic and you gotta, like, tell them what's going on. These are people driving to and from work and who knows where. Every time I run into a listener, they're always like, yeah, I've got to drive from Orlando all the way to Kentucky every day for some reason. Or not like that extreme. But it's like yeah, like you guys, but the biggest complaints are we don't do enough podcasts all the time. And I was like, fuck, man, 3 hours is forever. Where are you going?
No shit.
Sorry. See, I feel a little bit of dead air there. I'm also watching the Jays game. We're on a rally. It's good. It's good times.
Damn baseball.
So I figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's Gaia Reach Bandit, the one that I thought. So this is a 3-2 for 3 with haste that's red. And then when he flips, he says, whenever a werewolf enters the battlefield under control, you may transform it.
That's why.
That guy.
It's not the front side of a card.
Yeah, he's the other side. Yeah. And he flips to a 4-3. So that means he's the werewolf that you can hit off Collected Company that has haste with cards like Mayor of Averbrook that are also werewolves. And honestly, cards like Thalia's Lieutenant, which is the new 2-mana 1/1, when she comes in, put a +1/+1 counter on all your humans.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever a human comes, she gets bigger. Well, all the werewolves are fucking humans.
On the front side. Yeah.
On the front side. So then if you have like a bunch of these sweet Collected Company targets, and then your 4 and 5 drops are like Huntmaster of the Fells and this guy, because they're both legendary.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to want like 2 Huntmasters, maybe 2 of this guy. And the last creature
Huntmaster is not legendary.
Or sorry, because
this guy is.
Fuck. Well, this guy.
Yeah,
is legendary.
Ulrich is our first legendary werewolf.
Oh yes.
It's cool though. You know, the thing about that card is that in a much more like not like going off perfect world, you can kind of curve this situation well. Like on turn 3. You cast your 3-2 haster. On turn 4, if you're forced to, you don't cast anything in order to make it flip, but you're still on curve for this card for the big explosive, you know, like catching up, kind of missing your 4 drop. It's very.
Well, your
4
drop could be like the company on your opponent's turn.
Or that, sure. Yeah, I mean, that's. All
right,
now we're going back to perfect scenario. But I'm saying, like, when it doesn't work out perfectly. Part of the problem that, like, werewolves never broke into standard previously is because you needed all these elements to come together to do something that may or may not have been very explosive, And obviously that perfect set of circumstances for your deck just never came together. So anytime we can kind of marginalize or downplay what we really need to happen for a deck to win, or just have flat level effects, it's going to work out better. You know, we still live in a world where Collected Company is kind of defining so much of Standard that it's not fair to really evaluate these guys yet, because they're going to do a lot more, or they have the potential to be more impactful once that card leaves Standard. Maybe I'm thinking too much about draft, but anytime you could like make this work out in a turn, like, cause nothing feels more dirty than like, okay, I really need to flip my vampire werewolf. So I'm not going to do anything. And then you get fucking savagely punished by not like using your manas and casting your sorceries and all that.
Right.
So, you know, here you can kind of catch up for that. Like, you're kind of losing the momentum because you can have these big effects in that two card combo. It's enticing. You know, I'm still very hesitant to play werewolves where I need them to flip for my deck to be good. I like it. It seems like we're going in the right direction.
So this is why I'm saying there's cards. And if you guys don't play Standard, I, like, don't really play Standard, too. I cover it, so, like, let's just fucking not talk about Standard because it's way boring. And who gives a fuck, honestly? Like, it's Wizards' game to sell cards. If somebody wants to, like, jump on Twitter and tell me how awful I am that I don't want to talk about Standard, but...
Well,
fuck it. I would just way rather talk about modern and like things that are actually relevant that people are gonna play.
Yeah. Modern and cube.
Exactly.
Modern cube.
Yeah, seriously.
And wild burn deck speculation. That's what heavy meta is these days.
Exactly.
Thank you. Yes. So
we're just gonna have we're gonna have a segment, we're gonna call it Kevy's Corner. We're gonna look at every single card that comes out and he'll tell you if it's gonna be in burn.
Or not.
And then that segment will be over.
It'll be sweet.
And I like the fact that we're going to go ahead and we're going to do a whole segment and look at every single card as opposed to, you know, just being like, oh, are there any cards here that go and burn? And I can say no. No, we'll just be like, well, what about Emrakul, the Promised Land?
You got to fill those set review shows. You know, all those other podcasts out there that want to do 4 or 5 hours on a set review. If we don't stop and be like, all right, Kevy, we've got this new blue sorcery. Is it going to be in the burn deck?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Ooh, what a tease. I thought for sure no chance. But you could get a Reality Smasher, so I guess it might be on the board.
Absolutely. Doing
okay,
it.
So the way that Modern works is every time there's a deck that's doing well, it always seems to be an abundance of...
Lightning Bolt.
Like, amazing like top decks. Right, like when you're playing against like a Tron deck, you're like, oh, I fucking top deck's the third Tron land, like natural Tron every time, and they always fucking have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like the Mana League decks, the Delver decks, like they play Delver and flips Mana League, like they fucking have it like every time.
Mm-hmm.
But people who play Collected Company fucking have it every time.
Right.
Every time someone passes with 4 goddamn mana up, they have Collected Company.
It's frustrating.
Fuck that card, they should ban it. They should totally.
No, it's fucking amazing. It's such a good card. It makes every single type of aggro deck viable in a control-based meta, or like a meta that has Supreme Verdict.
Right. I still say ban it.
Collected Company plays around Chalice of the Void.
Oh, and I hate that card. Let's ban that one too.
Collected Company plays around Blood Moon.
Mm.
In like a Naya deck, if you just get a basic forest, you can play Collected Company and still play your game. Collected Company is a fucking amazing Magic card.
Yeah. You are into those green cards.
I remember on our Dragons of Tarkir review show, I told people they should buy them if they were like under a dollar.
Yeah, it's fucking
like,
amazing.
I was pretty into that card, not super into it.
buy them if they're under a dollar.
Yeah, I think those were my exact words. Where I was like, you know, it's probably pretty good. It gives you something to do. Like, you know, I don't know how good the creatures that cost under 4 are gonna be, but you know, I'd pick them up if they were under a dollar.
Like, every good creature ever costs less than 4, or less than 3 or less.
Wow. There are plenty of creatures that cost more than 4, but the problem is they cost more than 4.
Yeah, so they're not good creatures.
Yeah, there's a bunch, and you can get to those later, but, oh, man, just the synergy you can have in your deck, and just knowing that you don't lose to a 2 turn 4 Supreme Verdict means, like, Zoo will always be forever playable, and, like, any sort of red-green aggressive deck will always be sort of playable because you don't just get hosed by a turn 4 sweeper.
Right.
So they don't put turn 4 sweepers in Standard. So you can play like the turn 5 and 6 game in that or whatever and cast your Magic cards and have your fun. Like, generally speaking, the games are pretty interactive and it comes down to the top decks and being outplayed, and that's fantastic for Standard.
Or just don't worry about whether your creatures get killed or not, because you got fucking burn spells.
I mean, that's the way around it too. Fuck Sweeper.
Well, I mean, honestly, collected company is like a burn spell, only better, because imagine you collected company at end step and you hit a Goblin Guide and a Grim Lavamancer.
Mm-hmm.
You then get to attack with your Goblin Guide and it was safe from their wrath, and your Lavamancer untaps with haste.
This is true. I don't really.
And neither of the creatures could have got countered.
Yeah. It is a good card, but then you got to put green in.
It's really. It's almost worth it, man.
I half the time I splash green anyway when I'm playing burn, because
you can play Jund burn if you wanted.
Like, oh yeah,
Bob, right?
A bit of that. Hey, you know, Bob just is kind of an underperformer in burn over the last couple of years, and so he's made his way out of my burn decks. But you have was it the fucking God damn it, what dragon is it? The command. The fucking build your own burn spell. Atarka's command. Yeah. I'll use green for that.
It
is nice to have
green. And Destructive Reverie, the disenchant with shock on it.
Mm-hmm. Destructive Reverie is always a huge fucking thing because it's a fucking lifesaver in a sideboard.
Yeah.
What's that? Ancient Grudge. Yeah.
Ancient Grudge is amazing. But, like, Wild Nacaudle is the best not red creature ever.
Right.
Right? Like, you can just play a mono-red deck that plays Wild Nacaudle and Temple Gardens and, like, not even ever cast a white spell and just have a better one-drop than Goblin Guide.
Yeah. I guess you do.
You're going to take the fucking damage anyway. You don't care about your life. Yeah. Then you get to follow up with, like, double Goblin Guide after. You go, like, turn one Wild Nacaudle, untap, play two Goblin Guides, attack for seven.
Yeah,
that feels good.
Pretty nasty.
And then your Atarka's command is, like, actually lethal the next turn, I think.
Because
that's 1, 2, 3, 3, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Yeah, it's exactly lethal.
Yeah.
That's a turn 3 kill.
You gotta love it.
Atarka's with only 2 lands.
Is nice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really do. I don't know. Maybe I should fucking start dicking around with some Nacaudles.
Well, we can get some cards at facegames.com. Shameless plug.
Shameless plug, yeah. I could always hit up facefacegames.com and get some Nacaudle. I actually think I've got a couple laying around somewhere. And I've at least got one in my cube, and then what's left of my cube. And I think I might have another one or two hanging out somewhere. So I might not have to go out of my way to play around with it.
What you can do, Kevy, I've started to do this on Twitter, and Maddie's been helping me out because he's still alive, and he's now my personal confidant. So I just tell everybody my deck list and my deck idea, and then I take it to Twitter, and then they all go and play it for me and tell me how awesome it is. So you can do that, too.
That works. I used to do that a bit, and yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, you don't even have to play your deck. Just tell people how awesome it is.
You guys go play this. Yeah. And yeah, you fucking did your fucking Walls and Fire fucking deck today.
Yeah.
And yeah, did the same thing.
Yeah,
And yeah, we'll have to go
Maddie
see.
Maddie was playing it.
Have other people go play it and see how well it does.
Well, I'm going to play it on Wednesday on stream. So
oh, right on.
For my chef's table. And I'll write an article about it, how much fun it is. And the maximum mana I can make on turn, like, 4, turn 5. I've definitely made, like, 24 mana on turn 4.
That's so gross.
Yeah. So,
oh my God.
And now my sideboard is the most hateful thing of all time, with Blood Moons, Chokes, Ensnaring Bridges, Trinispheres. And
like
I had no idea this card existed.
Ensnaring Bridge and Blood Moon sounds
yeah,
like my sideboard.
Gross. It's gross. I had no idea this card existed. It's called Emi Statue. Do you know what this is, Tristan?
Oh, yeah, you can only untap one artifact per turn.
Yeah, that's a pretty good affinity hate.
Yeah, it's from Champions of Kamigawa. It was,
exactly.
Like a feeler card for trying to hose affinity back in the day. Obviously, it didn't really get the job done.
Well, here it is back again to hose affinity.
Yeah, back again to hose affinity.
Well, now that affinity isn't as good. I mean, it was printed in a time where like they hadn't really banned Disciple of the Vault yet. So, like, the affinity decks were like,
also,
we don't need to tap anything. You're still just dead.
Yeah. Well, also in my wall deck, I have, like, all 8 pieces of fast mana with Chancellor of the Tangle and Simeon Spirit Guide. So playing a 3-drop on turn 2 is, like, almost guaranteed. But I can even play it as early as turn 1.
That's crazy.
So.
Oh, yeah. Man. I need to play more Magic. Fuck.
I know.
Kevin, you love this
guy. Sometimes you should drive down for the weekend.
Yeah.
Play some Magic, man.
I know I should do that.
I was talking to Dave about it the other day. You guys should make a trip down to my neck of the woods. We just got to find someone for, well, I guess, you know, who knows. You can leave the wife at home if you want. Whatever you want to do, man.
Oh. We'll find some way to make it work. I, you know, of course, like, weekends are hard to come by these days because I got all kinds of other dumb shit to do. But, yeah, I could fucking pull apart a weekend so that I could come down and hang out, play some Magic. Even leading up to that, though, I need to just play a little bit more Magic. Because right now, like, sitting here talking about it, I'm like, fuck, I haven't had much interest in playing lately. Every once in a while, I do. I'm like, hey, man, let's, you know, I'll call Daniel and have him come over and we'll dick around and play some Magic. But, like, I'm kind of getting the itch again to play a bit, like, actually get into it and play a bit. But I still, you know, I got so much other shit going on that I'm like, oh, I'll get to that later. But sitting here listening to you talk about this deck, I'm like, oh, this sounds like fun. And even just a couple minutes ago when we were talking about, like, you know, versions of a deck that I already have owned and have played more than any other deck in fucking I've played in history, I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. I want to get in and start tweaking with my burn deck and start fucking with that again. So, I don't know, that spark's starting to happen a little bit. Maybe I will get off my ass and play a little more Magic. It just means it's less hockey I get to play and less, like, camping and weekend drinking I get to do.
All right, well, Wizards
is trying to coax you out for, like, the pre-release. They've got that super sick double-faced foil zombie token coming up
they
in the pre-release.
They do, and those are sweet. And I actually, luckily this time, was it last weekend before, whatever, I went down and grabbed a couple awful packs of fucking Eternal Masters. But while I was there, the guy that works the counter occasionally – you know, sat there and chatted me up. I was like, oh man, do you still come out to pre-releases? I was like, eh, I mean, I try to at times. I just don't really have the time anymore usually. But, he's like, well, if you want, here's the sign up sheet for it. So I was able to sign up a lot earlier than I normally do. I went ahead and put my name on the sheet. So rather than like most pre-releases that I do go to where I have to show up and wait to see if somebody doesn't show up so I can get into the pre-release. I'm like the third one on the fucking list, so I definitely can go if I actually get off my ass and go. Is that this weekend or next weekend?
No, pre-release isn't for a little while, man.
But, yeah, that's right. Oh, we're right at the beginning of spoiler season. My bad.
I know, it's super trippy.
Well, see,
the thing is,
usually I'm like, oh, well, shit, is it this weekend or next weekend? Because I'm at the end of the fucking list. But yeah, being on the list this early, that means I got plenty of time.
That's got to show you guys that I was paying literally no fucking attention to what you were saying because I didn't stop you at all.
Hey, it happens from time to time. Just say that you were taking a leak or something.
Yeah, no, they announced the kits, and you know we've kind of reached like a plateau in terms of the pre-release experience, and it's not a bad plateau. Like I'm really happy with the way things are now. I like that you can go in, you can get pretty much any rare or mythic, it just has the stamp on it for the date, so you don't have to pick a particular color or guild or bullshit. You know, it's just six packs. It's not like you're getting a seeded pack or anything. I really like the date stamp cards.
Double-faced zombie token. That thing's insane.
Right. Well, that's what we were talking about where you were taking a piss, where it was like, we get extra, like, sweet
bonus. Oh, I wasn't
bonus.
Taking a piss. I was just sitting here not paying attention.
No, I was saying you need to tell people you were taking a piss, so it's not like you weren't paying attention.
Yeah, we're trying to give you the benefit of the doubt,
I'm still
like,
not
I'm
paying
even,
attention.
Yeah,
I'm not even playing Hearthstone right now. Like, I'm only talking to you in one game. Like, you have most of my
true
attention.
True degenerate,
you know,
has returned.
Yeah, no shit.
I'm so happy.
This is what I'm
okay, sorry. No. Did I interrupt you?
No, we were just, you know, I'm really happy with where pre-releases are at right now, and it's kind of the kind of thing where it's like, you know, we do this show, like, and a lot of people listen to the show of different interest levels of the game or just, like, how active they are in it, but this is, like, I always try to advocate. This is the one event where it's, like, really make an effort to get out there. I mean, if I sound like a broken record to people listening to a long time, you know why. Because it's just, there's so much fun. I don't care what your skill level is. I don't care if you're fucking get off my lawn about Magic. Like, you don't know what it was like back in the day. Like, we all have fun at the pre-release, and just so cool that they're still adding, like, fun shit in these packs that is such a bonus. Like, who doesn't want a fucking foil, double-sided foil token? Like,
Either way, I'm going to have to, like, I'm going to need quite a few of those, so I'm going to have to start buying them up from people at the fucking at the pre-release. Because, I mean, that with my fucking, my zombies deck, I need a few of them. And that's just my casual fun deck. But I'm going to need a few of those because the of the flip Lily and whatnot. And those are, like, I can't use any other zombie tokens now after seeing those. Like, I don't know why I would. Like, having double-sided foil zombie tokens is just fucking awesome. I'm kind of a token whore. Like, it's if it's not, like, our heavy meta tokens, they have to be some sweet-ass fucking tokens.
And it's the same approval because we do not have an official zombie token.
Right.
So it's okay to use somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which, I mean, I feel like that probably should be my next
one. Holy fuck, boys. I just realized something.
What's that?
Oh, God. I need to get Durf.
You do? What the hell's wrong with you, boy? You haven't got that done yet? I assumed you were in the process.
I know. No. It's been a month, man. You're behind.
Fuck, I want a token.
Yeah. We need to do tokens again. And
good old selfish Kevy is already sitting here talking about what his next one is going to be.
Next one,
like,
next one,
not even like, hey, Tony, do you want to be the zombie? Oh, you're about to throw that up there.
No, hell no. I'm pulling rank. I'm pulling rank. If anybody's going to be a zombie, it's going to be me.
You can be a zombie. I don't give a fuck. But just, no, man, I could, yeah.
Well,
I guess I probably shouldn't be a, germ token?
To be derfed is really, you know, it's great. I loved it when I got done for me. They definitely gave me only the one chin, which was very generous.
I guess what I meant to say was, would he do it?
He would. We'll have to hit him up. One of the things we should do, though, is like, you know, we definitely should do tokens again. It's probably time to do that again. And, you know, like last time.
We should do playmats again.
Yeah, we could definitely do playmats.
I have a
little bit more about
hookups. So.
But what we did, you know, what we did before, the last time we did playmats, we did that whole Kraken competition thing, and we had people design them, and we, you know, we went through it that way. Maybe we get into, you know, finding somebody else, you know, this time to get in on it with us and do some sort of a themed, like, playmat design contest and get those out there.
I want to be like riding a reality smasher.
That's the theme. That's the theme of the playmat contest. Is it's Tony riding a reality smasher?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of pushing yourself into being a Scion token, though.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Getting back into the token.
Yeah. Oh, that's.
We need to look at, because that's one of the things we did before. Is we're like, oh, hey, you know, we sat down and we thought, hey, what are the tokens people are going to need for the metagame right now, like what tokens are needed and what, you know, types and stuff
you
want to use. And, you know, maybe it's time to sit down and think that out again. You know, maybe, Tony, maybe you're just a clue token. I don't know.
Actually, Scion's actually pretty fucking sweet, because I would also be happy if I were riding a Phyrexian Dreadnought. That's basically my favorite card of all time.
See, you could do something like that. I want to be a zombie.
Made possible only by Eldrazi.
As much as I want to be a fucking zombie, like, I don't know. I don't know if I can compete, like, the Kevy Metal zombie token, I don't know if it can compete with the fucking double-sided flip foil fucking zombie tokens that Wizard's putting out right now. So maybe fucking zombie token.
Why don't we just make you a double-sided flip foil zombie token?
That's actually not a bad idea. I'm totally on board.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
We can do
too
this.
Far, guys.
I was stoked to be able
to do
this shit, like, or like win the not competition that we had, but like the fact that these Kevy Metal tokens were flying off the shelves and there were just all these fucking excess
Oh yeah, I think I still have a stack of Davids that don't have homes.
Like, we started, you know how like when like they print up the shirts for like both teams to the win the World Series, and then like when one team wins, they ship the other ones overseas for people to use in like impoverished countries. Like, I think that's what we finally ended up starting to do with a lot of the Gumby tokens, is just like let people use them to burn in their huts, you know, for warmth. Because you couldn't get a hold of any more fucking Kevy tokens, but there were definitely plenty of David tokens laying around. And I just had to give him that shot because he's not here. And I'm going to find out if he listens to the cast when he's not around. But yeah, this time we want to all be tokens that are usable so that people want
all of the tokens, but I also kind of want to win this thing again.
I didn't want to do that the first time. That's fucking
stupid. No, we did. No,
of course you want to be usable tokens.
We did want to be usable tokens. It just so happened that I was, I guess, the more usable token. Cause like Young Pyromancer was a thing and like, it just,
yeah, hell yeah.
I happen to be the more usable token.
You just need to pick your token generator better.
Exactly. So that's what I'm getting at. We got to pick a good token generator for everybody, but I still also kind of want to win this competition because I need to be like the reigning token king on heavy meta.
Well, as tried to say last time, we should try to diversify because like there were four of us. We wanted to be a 1-1, a 2-2, a 3-3, and a 4-4,
right.
Which ironically, it on the surface, it seemed like it would kind of shaft Maddie because Maddie ended up as the 3-3 Canadian beast. And then those weren't really in standard at all while he was there, but somehow again we didn't even really sell them. It was like a donation based thing, and if people made requests, I kind of sent them out, and there was just this huge pull for everyone that wasn't like, no one needed dragon tokens at the time, so David really shit out of luck. And then like the biggest nail in the coffin was that like Sarkhan Unbroken gets printed. There's like multiple cards that make 4/4 red dragon tokens, and yet still after months, he was the one with the biggest backstock. Like, no one had a use for Canadian beasts, but people wanted some Canadian beasts. That was a lot of rub-ins with Dave. And he's getting them again today because he's not here to do this.
Because he's not here to defend himself.
The things that you need to consider when you're making a token is which card produces the maximum number of tokens. So when people want your token, they want like four or five of them.
Right,
so you got to think of like Lingering Souls, Young Pyromancer. You got to think of like Secure the Waste, the ones that makes X white creatures that aren't humans. Like that's a relevant one, but you make like seven of them.
Yeah.
The Monk from Monastery Mentor, because when the top Sensei's Divining Top, Monastery Mentor thing goes off, it's like pay one mana, make a prowess guy. So like these are the ones you want to make, or obviously fucking zombies.
Yeah, because zombies are just fucking sweet. I may be able to just go with zombies because zombies are always.
Well, and sometimes you make 13 of them at a time, and that's you
true.
Got a big stack ready.
Yeah, exactly,
to go.
Right. So that's what you want. That's the key. So there it is. We have it.
I probably should go as a zombie next time. like this is Halloween. I should go as a zombie this year.
we need to
get into that conversation, you know, at postcast or, you know, later this week. We do need to get a little further into that conversation and try to get some of that going.
We still need the SVU to bug the shit out of Durf, and lovingly.
Yes, lovingly bug the shit.
To make sure that Tony gets on the radar so we can get a Chef Tony avatar. So, like, now we need, like, a Chef Tony Scion artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm playing Scion. Maybe I'm like cooking them, you know?
Yeah.
Or sure, you got like a Scion stew going. Who knows?
Yeah. Or like strung up and skinned like rabbits or something.
I like it. This sounds like some Phyrexian shit, but I like it.
Yeah, that's the point.
That's funny.
I love the Phyrexian. I hope we fucking go back to Dominaria and like get to do the Phyrexian stuff.
That'd be pretty.
But anyways,
cool.
Before that, we were actually talking about. Did you guys read the Wizards article that they put up?
Nope.
They
I don't
like,
know how to read.
Told the story or anything?
Did no, actually,
did your child read it to you?
I didn't have my son read that one to me yet. I'm going to. Daniel actually hit me up about like talking about how the story is like super fucking dark, but I haven't got a chance to look into the story yet.
So the best part about it is at the end of it, there's a picture of this crazy Emrakulian angel that's Bruna and...
Oh, yeah, I did see that artwork, though.
Okay, so did you guys see the... check your Twitter. Did you see the card I posted?
No.
This link. It's a sideways card, so it's like turned sideways, and it's an Endbringer. So it's like a two-part card. The cards would go horizontally side by side to make one giant card. So this was found somewhere. You can probably look it up on Reddit. Did you see? Have you seen it?
Oh, okay. I see. I see what you're showing here.
Okay. So imagine. I'll wait till you see it, Tristan, because it's like I'm sure you can figure it out. But imagine.
Give me a second. It's loading.
Loading.
Okay.
Loading.
What are you on? Fucking dial-up.
All right. So it's a picture. Wait. A strange misprint Obnixilus? Wait, what am I looking at?
You should be looking at, like, an Endbringer that's sideways.
Yeah.
Like, You look,
yeah,
you see
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So imagine you have two angels that say, when you control this angel and you control this angel, tap both of these angels, transform and unite them. Whatever fucking stupid word wizard picks. Transform
right,
and unite them. And we get that motherfucking thing.
Right. I see what you're saying.
Oh, okay.
Next level transform cards, maybe?
Yeah.
Like transform plus soul bond?
Well, because, like, and what's the deal, too? Like, this fucking Inbringer, like, the cut in half, like, the weird misprint fucking version of it, has, like,
yeah.
It's not just, like, it, like somebody took an oversized card and fucking
off
to the corners.
Yeah.
It's that weird little circle in the corner on the fucking, like, right in front of Inbringer.
Well, that's the transform.
Yeah, to show
right?
that it's probably a double-faced card. Right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That's fucking crazy.
Wouldn't that be fucking sweet?
This is nuts. We need to put, well, I don't know. Go back to Tony. Tony, you need to tweet this out to the world so that,
people have seen it. It's on Reddit. I'm just like, it's not like new.
No, I mean, but like for our, to reference it, because you know I'm terrible and I'm not going to remember to put this in the show notes, but, so just in case you might want to tweet this out to the world. But yeah, I'll try to put it
in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah. That way, like, as people are listening to this and the ones like me that haven't fucking seen this shit before can kind of put two and two together.
Well, those are the same people that are in their car, like, driving to Orlando. They're not going to be able to, look it up.
Exactly.
Like, anyway.
This is awesome.
Anyway, just, you can Google it. I just typed in, like, double-faced, Endbringer or something like that. Like,
okay.
Whatever. If you understand what we're talking about, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
But,
that is pretty crazy.
That seems like, it could be pretty fucking sweet. That would be a sweet reveal for this set.
Mm-hmm.
And that picture, like, sort of leads to it, maybe? Huh? We got fucking Eldrazi Wish, right? So we can have soul-bonded transform cards.
Yeah. We can do that.
It'd be
we
fucking
can we want.
Make the EDH players go wet, right? Like, they would just fucking love it. They would have two different commanders for one deck, or you could just, oh, man, it would be awesome. It'd be super sweet.
It's the wave of the future.
Maybe that this, yeah. Yeah, Magic's fucking really awesome right now. It's really, really awesome.
It blows me away how, like, I mean, we can always bitch and complain, which we do at length. But,
I don't.
I
what
do.
What the fuck, Helen?
Oh, this.
I don't.
This
Helen, cat. Don't, I don't fucking bitch and complain.
Helen,
I love you, motherfuckers.
Tony,
you send me stuff to help support you.
Tony complains about you all the time, and he just doesn't do it on air.
No. I know. Fuck off. No. Help send support to the stream so we can do it forever and keep running awesome events. And
hell yeah.
Fuck, man. Yeah, that's what I want to talk about now. I went to the WMCQ. We're done talking about Magic.
Yeah.
I heard some big names have won those this last weekend.
Yeah. Owen Turtenwald in the U.S., but Jacob Wilson in Montreal. I got to interview Jacob Wilson. I was such a fucking fangirl, except I wasn't because I don't act like that. But
I don't.
Oh, man. Sorry. I can't not hear Jacob. He was like fucking 15 years old hanging out in Central California
right?
When the degenerate that I would know would try to get him drunk, and instead he would just get picked up and go home.
It's so awesome.
He's a good kid.
I love the fact that this show just transcends generation gaps, too. Like, Tony's like, ah, it's fangirling, it's fucking awesome. I get to interview him, and Chris is like, back in my day, when he was a child, we used to try to get him drunk. I love it. It's fucking
It was actually cool. I got to interview John Stern and Pascal Maynard. I've like seen these guys around, but like, yeah, these are the Magic pros I look up to. And I was like looking at going to GPs and grinding PTQs, and like now I actually get to sort of like be a part of it. It's pretty fucking awesome. Like, I think we produced some like really, really quality content on the weekend. I'm really happy with what we did.
Right on, man. Well, congrats. I'm glad.
Yeah.
It starts with passion, and you obviously got that. I mean, passion and consistency.
Yeah, man.
Kevin,
if you
want to,
if you actually want to watch some good Magic in the background sometimes, like, just fucking throw the WMCQ on because it's timeless, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
It'll be this tournament. And there's some really, like, professional plays. There are plays that I was like, holy fuck, that is amazing. And I covered a bunch of Magic recently and watched a lot of fucking people play Magic. And
players.
These guys watching Alexander Haim. Yeah, watching Alexander Haim and Jacob Wilson play was like such a fucking delight. There was a super sick play that Alexander Haim did where we were looking to attack. He didn't really have a way to kill anything, and he had a new Abyssin in play. And she says, when one of your other creatures dies, At the beginning of the next upkeep, flip her and she does 3 damage to everything except her. So all creatures and each player.
Mm.
So Alex like sort of makes this like weird attack that like kind of doesn't really make sense. It's like a couple of like chump blocks, but gets a couple of damage in and gets his opponent to 3, and then activates his Nissa to make a legendary token.
Mm-hmm.
When he already had a legendary token that he attacked with, so the first one died.
Yeah.
and then passed the turn is about like, fuck. Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah, so we were like, why isn't he using his Nissa? Like, he could, like, draw a card, like, he can cast an extra spell if he hits a land into play, like, all these options, and then, like, he attacks and then use the Nissa, and we're like, yep, that makes sense.
That's fucking awesome. That is pretty sweet.
Yeah. Jacob Wilson had, there was, the other play that was insane was Jacob Wilson had, a whole bunch of tokens of one kind, and Declaration and Stone is the 2-mana exile a creature and all creatures with the same name. So it gets all the tokens, and if it doesn't hit, like, card creatures, if it takes tokens, you get no clues. So it's just, like, an amazing removal spell at that point.
Right.
So Jake Wilson cast Dromoka's Command to put a +1/+1 counter on his opponent's creature and have it fight the creature that was being targeted with the Declaration of the Stone to die.
Right.
So the Declaration of the Stone had no target to resolve and kept all of his other tokens, even though his opponent got a +1/+1 counter, and then killed him anyways.
That's cool.
Yeah, lots
shit,
of stuff.
I'm gonna have to go back through and watch that.
Yeah, man, it was really a solid weekend. He didn't even lose a match all day. He had 2 buys, and he went 4-0, double draw, finished in 3rd place in Swiss, still was on the play, and then won the finals.
Hell yeah.
And he's like, I just picked up this deck. Like, he's like, this is my first, like, really time playing this deck.
And that's when you start hating people like that. You're just like, you son of a bitch.
No, man, you have to. That's fucking amazing.
No, that's just skill. And I'm being sarcastic. Like, that's just skill to be able to pick up a deck like that and just be able to think that way and be able to just be like, oh, okay, I don't really need any experience. Like, I get it. I see how it works. And I'm just going to work myself through the math and fucking win with it and just crush motherfuckers with it. And that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking sweet. And I actually got to see, like, when I went to the event, I was, like, walking around, and, like, the first day I had, like, my vest and tie on or whatever, so I was, like, looking good, you know? We wanted to, like, step it up a notch, but I kept seeing people in heavy meta shirts, and I would just be, like, nice shirt. And then I'm not sure if they would recognize me or not, or they didn't really introduce themselves.
Maybe
they didn't. I'm a huge asshole, and they didn't remember, so if they're listening... I don't remember your name, so fucking shout out to everybody at the WMCQ wearing heavy meta shirts.
That's fucking sweet, man. Don't worry.
I'm wearing my 3-rule shirt right now.
You'll get there.
I had somebody recognize me in the lobby from my voice. Because, the Sunday, we also streamed the face-to-face open on Sunday, so it was like a 3K modern event. So in the morning, I was like walking down, and I wasn't wearing like nice clothes. I was wearing nice clothes, but whatever.
Like
normal clothes. Yeah, and some guy was like, do you know where the Magic tournament is? And I turned around and I was like, why would I know where the Magic tournament is? And I have like a face-to-face hat on and a shirt and like my tattoo and like I don't care. Like I probably have a deck box in my hand and he's like, you're Chef Tony, right? And I was like, yes, the tournament sounds serious. Like,
yeah. That's awesome.
Like we were listening to your cast yesterday. And I was like, oh, that's fucking sweet. So shout out to that guy too.
Dude, it's so fucking weird and just surreal, like, you like going to tournaments and, you know, especially, I guess, for me, somebody who, like, I'm not any good at Magic, but just, like, this casting.
You make that abundantly clear all the time. Yeah. If you just don't say anything, they won't.
You're just good at life.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing.
You're just
be an awesome person, and you're fucking famous that way.
I guess so.
The internet has given us that opportunity.
Yeah, and it has. It's crazy. Maybe I should start, like, just doing...
Yeah, what percentage of people that talk about Magic the Gathering on a weekly basis are actually any good at it?
Yeah.
The percentage is...
Because they would actually be
practicing. Well, if not zero.
They'd be practicing Magic the Gathering rather than talking about it on a podcast.
Exactly. We'd be spending this time working on honing those skills, son, and not talking about how we're going to make tokens of ourselves because we're so self-obsessed.
Yeah. Yeah, those that can't podcast.
Nice. That's a fucking good one.
That should probably go on our next heavy meta shirt.
Yeah.
Putting ourselves right in check.
Yeah, no shit.
The saying that I like to use is the work's hard, but the pay's not great.
Yeah, no shit. That reminds me of Dave.
Right, story of my life.
Gumby's big go-to is, I may be ugly, but at least I ain't got no money. So shit, what else do we got going on? Anything?
I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff going on. So I missed last week, and I haven't been to like an F&M or anything. Now, Tony, how is life?
Oh yeah,
Eternal Masters is out there. Are people super into it? Are they actually able to buy it or draft it, or do they hate the whole thing?
I must have been pretty fucking drunk last week because I totally forgot that you weren't even there, Tristan. I'm a piece of shit.
He's all
because I actually wanted to talk to you about this because Eternal Masters is fucking sweet. Mm. It's like the Nutter Butters. I know people that are like 15 drafts in.
Damn, that's crazy.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, like I know people that are like fucking gone ham. Like now that it's on Magic Online too, so. Like, I know people that are just going fucking crazy for this, and we fortunately still have product to draft with.
Well, that's the first good thing I've heard about the whole thing. Now, do you guys, like, fire it at F&M? Is it kind of an on-demand thing for, or is it like a weekend? You, like, should I schedule it so people come in on a Saturday or something? Or how are people engaging with the set?
So we do, obviously, if 8 people want to draft Eternal Masters, literally any time that's before sort of, like, 8 p.m. we'll just let it happen. Like, that's cool. But our scheduled drafts, we do Mondays, we do limited. So that usually determines sort of who's in the room. And I think this week we did chaos draft because everyone was like, yeah, let's do chaos draft. So most of the time it's whatever the standard set is, but we did Eternal Masters the week before that. And the whole week was like Eternal Masters, like fucking fiasco. So
Eternal fiasco.
Yeah, it was sweet. So then, what was I saying? Yeah, I'm getting drunk.
I don't know.
How's it going at the store kind of thing? You know what I'm saying? Like.
Okay, so, oh yeah, it's the schedule. So then we do Friday nights, we do $50 drafts. So it's $20 a pack in Canadian dollars. So that's like 4 Starbucks coffees for you or whatever.
Yeah. the conversion rate, we got to use Starbucks.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to do it, right? Yeah. So, $20 a pack, so we do $50 drafts, so you get, like, a bit of a deal, so, like, $16 a pack or whatever. But there's a kid at the store, Josh Bullock, and I really want to tell him about this podcast, but he's only, like, 13. So I can't, like, justify it yet. I'm kind of hoping that he, like, stumbles on it on his own. Like, we have, 100 heavy meta coasters at the shop, and, like, he obviously knows about my heavy meta tattoo and, like, kind of talk about it, but he's like, he's like the funniest fucking kid ever. I would have him as a guest on this show because he's so fucking funny, and he's built a legacy deck at drafting Eternal Masters. He opened a foil Jace and a Caracas and got to sell them both, and then he's got 4 Force of Wills now. All he needs is a Jace the Mind Sculptor, and this 13-year-old kid owns Grixis Delver and Miracles because of this set.
What the
That's
hell?
Fucking
That's fucking
insane. Amazing.
Yeah, that is crazy.
That's fucking amazing. He needs, like, 1 or 2 dual lands that he's like, yo, I'll just save up, like, all school year, ask for Christmas, like, everything at once and get, like, my 1 underground sea or whatever. Or just be a fucking luck sack like he is, top 8 a fucking Sunday showdown, get $400 in store credit, and just get an underground sea because you can do that at Face-to-Face Games Toronto.
That's fucking
crazy. As an 13-year-old kid, as an 11-year-old kid. Like, they're
and
15
Tristan,
and 15-year-old kids winning. He's all over the world right now.
This is garbage. Tristan can't find a fucking LGS to go to, and I've got one that sucks. And then here you are in Canada.
Just imagine, kind of tries. I mean, like, granted, we didn't go there when they were running a draft, so
right.
I don't know if they also don't know how basic math works. But that's the problem here in Southern California.
Yeah.
No one understands how to price a fucking draft. Like, the rent is too goddamn high. You should just be happy there's a goddamn roof over your head when you come to play Magic in Southern California. Yes, but meanwhile, the haven that is Fit Toronto. So I just need to save up all my F&M entries for a year and just buy a plane ticket to the store.
And then just play one there.
Check this out. We came up with a new system because this is how awesome we are. We have a stamp card system now. Shameless plug again. Here we go. We have a stamp card system now that when you sign up to a paid event, so like the Duels for Dinner
we talked about before, is free. So when you sign up for a paid event, you like pull out your stamp card, and then we give you a stamp in either standard, modern, limited, or legacy. Mm-hmm. And then once you have 800 points on your stamp card, you get a free Sunday showdown, so it's worth $20.
Dude, that's fucking sweet. That's a
so
great idea.
So if you play
idea.
Basically 2 weeks, if you play 2 weeks, you get a Sunday showdown for free. So if you play regularly, you can get like, you know, $40 worth of free events every month. So you could play for 2 weeks, join a Sunday showdown for free, win it, $400 something, whatever the fuck the credit is, 300 split for the finals, something like that. And then get an underground C as a 13-year-old kid to be jamming Legacy on Friday nights.
Damn, dude, that's insane.
Yeah. The dream's real.
The dream is real. This is real life. And also get, like, now, like, oh, well, I get, could you, the way I see this is, like, maybe you should get into doing this with your stamp cards. There's, maybe rather than just, like, letting them get into a Sunday showdown or whatever, like, maybe they could just get some sweet sandwiches and shit. Like,
so, we do what's called a VIP FN membership. So, the winner of the Sunday Showdown gets a one-month VIP FN membership, which is entrance to all of the paid events for free that you can still get stamp cards for and save for Sunday Showdowns later, and 15% off everything in the cafe. And the winner of the Sunday Showdown gets those for the month of their choosing. And so, if you know you can't play, you're going to school, and you don't want to, or like you're going to the cottage or something, you can't use it this month. You don't have to use it right now. The month you use it, you just have one floating.
That's fucking.
So you can
sweet.
Just like store them up until you're like, oh, I've taken the summer off to play Magic. I'm never paying for an event again. I won 3 Sunday Showdowns last year.
You guys are doing it fucking right. And it's frustrating not being in Canada.
And
I mean, there's other things that are frustrating about not being in Canada. There's also things that aren't frustrating about not being in Canada. But this is one of the things that's frustrating me that I'm not in Canada. Well, I'm not just in Canada. Like, I mean, I don't want to just be in Canada somewhere because that's not going to help me get to your store. I mean, like, this is frustrating.
Pretty,
for
yeah, no, you got to come. You got to come to Toronto.
Yeah. Hey,
if you called me and said I'm in Toronto and gave me like a street address, I'd be able to find you.
Oh yeah.
So just make your way generally to my area, and then like a lost puppy, I'll search you out.
Well, I don't know, man.
That's
if it's
good.
Some great
and I'll be on the. It'll be like speed. Or some shit. I'll be on a time limit to find Kevy before he gets way too fucking drunk and passes out the dumpster.
Way too drunk to be able to play Magic and or get out of the country.
No, no, like, exist. Yeah, I won't. You won't. You'll call me like the third time. You like blah, 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 and then I won't be able to find you anymore.
And you know how that's how that call's gonna go. I'm like, look, Tony, you promised. I know I didn't give you any warning, but I'm here. I'm in Toronto. I'm at a Greyhound bus station on the outskirts of fucking town.
I would not do that.
You've got absolutely, exactly fucking 27 minutes to find me before I'm too drunk to function and play Magic. And then, I'll send you the fucking GPS coordinates and then start drinking at the, I don't know, non-existent Greyhound bus station bar.
I mean, I can't imagine.
Homeless people sitting outside the bus station. It's fine. Share their Listerine.
I would probably just stop in Mississauga before I got lost down there, because that's where
I feel like just
my family or a lot of my family.
I could
is.
Find you in Mississauga. I could find you in Mississauga. That's fine. That sounds really creepy, doesn't it?
My grandfather lives right off the QEW. It's not hard at all to get there.
Nice.
But see,
hey, that's close to
what I'm thinking is just in case this happens, you should invest in like a GoPro with a head strap, so that. If you do get the call, you could just turn the camera on. Just have it with you at all times. Turn the camera on and be like, oh, what? And, like, we could just have a whole fucking reality show right then and there. Like, reality movie of you doing, like you said, the speed thing, trying to get through the city to get to us before, you know, we're too drunk to function. And you just
keep
your head and be set.
There's a slogan for that, too. It would be really easy. It would be Summer of a Movie.
Summer of a Movie. it's low hanging.
My girlfriend's coming home soon, so I want to get all my yelling out now.
I like it.
I'm gonna be drunk enough when she gets home, but I want to get my yelling out before she actually gets here.
She's like,
you're just gonna scare the cat, man. Come on now.
Yeah. I know, probably.
The cat.
I guarantee the cat is sleeping somewhere. 100%. Guaranteed.
You're gonna end up getting the conversation about like, look, you know what? You can do this podcast thing if you want to, but you're gonna need to stop coming back in hammered drunk every time.
I'm in my office at home. I'm just like, it's like surrounded by laptops and fans. It's kind of ridiculous.
It is. Because it's so hot
and it's hot,
isn't it?
And fucking fog,
like 34 degrees.
You don't understand how many magic cards I have in this office. I should send you guys a picture. I'm thinking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So one pile is 14 five rows high.
14 magic cards.
Yeah, I know. So on my desk right now, I think I have three. They're like, they're warping the opposite direction because of the heat here. It's insane.
9, 6, 12, 8, 24, 30. I have at least 60 cases of bulk. Jeez. Packed into like what a magic case would look like, 6 boxes, 60 cases.
So let's play a game. Like you randomly reach into a box.
Yeah, I like this game. I like
you random pull out a magic card. Let's see if we can figure it out with you giving us the least amount of information possible.
We'll play 20 questions. That's how that game works, right?
Oh, sure. Good. This is going to be fun. I feel like I'm going to win this
fucking
game.
You guys are plenty drunk, right? Okay.
Yeah.
All fucked. They're 4-2.
Mm. Oh, good.
Okay. I guess you can figure this one out. Yeah.
Is it
Okay. Well, hold on. I probably can't pick this one.
Because
you guys are gonna talk about a magic card, and I actually the first thing I picked it was a zombie token. So if you think it's an actual magic card, let me get a magic card. Like, that's awesome, but hold on, let me fucking find one. Talk amongst yourselves.
That is awesome, but...
Talk amongst yourselves.
I'll give you a topic, zombie token.
Language. You know, what kind of room is Tony sitting in? But not only is he surrounded by bulk boxes, but he's surrounded by bulk boxes that contain foreign language zombie tokens. Like,
well,
I understand.
I like the fact that he said right off the bat, he's like, well, I'm in my office.
Okay.
That's so I found sports.
Yeah, it basically
okay.
is.
Your
basically,
entire basically the way you describe, you shouldn't. You should just like reach your hand to the right, and your hand should be in a well organized stack of cards, and you should just be able to pull one out.
Mm.
No, well then it'd be just a card from my deck, which I already posted the deck list online, and that would be fucking boring. I'd be looking at these cards all day. Let's find something way more fun than this.
You dove into the Scrooge McDuck room of bulk.
Yes.
And you came out
Jesus
with
fuck.
A card.
Like, holy shit, there's so many cards. Okay.
All right. You
he's a, I think I think right. I think what's happening is he's trying to not throw us a complete curveball.
Alright, okay,
on the first
this card
one.
Yeah, okay. Okay, this card's pretty sweet. Kevi, you're totally fucked, you're never gonna get it. But Tristan,
oh good,
You're probably good for this one. Right. So,
was this
Kevi, hold on. Kevi, you should start. Let Kevi start because he can start with dumb questions like, what color is it?
Yeah. Okay. What color is it?
You have to ask, yes, yes or no, right?
It's yes or no questions. Okay.
Yeah, here, I'm going to keep track of this shit. Okay, fine. Fuck, let's do it. Okay, I found one.
Okay. Is it a...
All right.
Is it an instant?
No. Ooh.
Ahead,
that was
Tristan.
An interesting thing to bring a question on. All right. Was this card printed before 2001?
No.
Mm.
All right, so it's more modern. I think I probably could up that date a little bit. 2001 nowadays probably isn't that much. All right. Is it a common?
Yes.
All right, throw it back to you, Kevin.
Ooh.
We're what, 3 or 4 in now?
I'm just trying to play defense and not blow questions for Tristan's chance at guessing this. shit.
So you know it's like a modern card.
Yeah.
No, it's a common. It's not an instant.
Right.
Thank God you're keeping track.
Pick a color. I got this. Pick a color.
I was gonna do that, but is it monocolored?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So it's a and in that yes, can we assume it's also a colored card. It's not a land. It's not an artifact.
Correct. That doesn't count as a question. It is a monocolored card.
Okay.
That's just a clarification. It is a monocolored card.
It's a monocolored common that's not an instant that's been printed in the last 15 years. Riveting Radio, we should really, I'll try to speed this up a little bit.
Right, right.
We'll fire it off. Is it a white card?
Yeah, the only time you should be asking questions is when you're drinking. Yes, it's a white card.
Ooh!
All right.
Score.
Is it a creature?
Yes.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, this is hard.
Well, kind of, because there are quite a few common white creatures that have been printed in the last 15
yeah.
years.
Yeah,
sort of. Hey, don't worry. People are driving to work listening to this. They have nothing better to do, and they can't escape us.
Yes, that's
true.
There are some people that are playing along. But yeah.
Hopefully, there are people that are playing along that are enjoying this.
Do you want to take a couple of times to guess some subtypes? It's not like
no.
Well, I don't like,
does
like,
it have a
like
does
like
it have a converted mana equal to 2?
Yes.
Nice.
All right, now we're getting
fucking,
somewhere.
You're fucking good at this.
Well, I'm really close to being a capable game designer.
Yeah.
Is this a Vandalion?
All right, we got a casting cost white creature that's a common that's been printed in the last. Does it have a keyword on it that is specific to the set or block that it was printed in?
Ooh, you're getting crazy.
No. All
right, well, that's good. That's good. I mean, it's a generic creature.
Mm-hmm.
Or
it has a keyword on it.
But it's not a... But so it can have flying, because that's not specific to...
Yeah, that's true.
Does it have a keyword on it? You didn't ask.
That's what I was wondering if we should just ask that. Does it have a keyword on it?
No, it does not.
Is it Glory Seeker?
No.
All right.
I'm trying to think.
Does it have... So it doesn't have any keywords on it?
Correct.
All right, so it doesn't even have Defender. It's not a wall. So commons, white common creatures in the last 15 years that were printed that have a CMC of 2, generally have a total girth of usually 4, though.
I was going to say, I feel like our next one, and I should probably let you ask the question, though. Our next one should be, is it a, you know, this power and toughness creature? What would you think would be the most common?
Originally, I was going to say, so is it a 2-2?
No.
Ooh.
Is it a 3-1?
No.
Shit. You go 1-3? Do we want to blow another question on it?
Yeah, sure, go for it.
Is it a 1-3?
No, why would you say that? That's the most ridiculous thing ever. Be more logical than that. What haven't you asked yet? Power toughness.
I mean, 2-1 is kind of the next area to go to.
2-mana, 2-1, okay. No, it's not a 2-1.
Oh.
1-1.
It's a 1-1, yes.
Jesus, Lord. Right. For 2-mana? Like, I mean, it is a common. Yeah, it is a common. Jesus Christ.
2-mana, 1-1, common.
But it doesn't have any keywords on
That's
it.
That's what I'm... This is just a garbage common.
It does a thing. I didn't pick a vanilla card. I wasn't like a fucking dick or something. Like, there are leading questions that you guys can ask. Like,
it does a thing, but it
maybe narrow down the time frame. Maybe ask like a little more specific when the card was printed. Like you know, it's modern, but
right.
Well, not necessarily.
Maybe like a
modern set
or a block.
Is it in standard?
It is not in standard.
Okay, that knocks out a little bit. How many questions are we in?
I know. I feel like we got like 5 or 6 left.
Yeah, we've got to be narrowing down.
Let's play 20. Like, you can have like 4 more questions. For those counting along at home, that's 22.
All right, I'm leaving these ones to you, Tristan, because all I'm going to do is fuck this up for you.
I thought for sure we killed this, and then I got totally thrown for a loop by a 2-mana 1-1 that doesn't have a keyword ability on it.
But it also does the thing.
Does it have an ETB ability then? Does it have an enter the battlefield ability?
No.
Son of a bitch.
Come on, shitty 1-1s.
Right?
Does it have an activated ability?
No.
Fuck!
You only got one question left to figure that out, like, or like, if from that era.
Right.
Of, like, types of abilities, I guess, or words thing, types of words on it.
Types of words and things.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have an EP effect. It doesn't have an activated ability. It has to have, like, a static ability, then. And it's not in standard. So, like, a card like Unruly Mob almost fits because it has a static ability. It doesn't have a keyword ability. It's a 2-mana 1/1, but it's that card is in standard.
You are wrong with the static ability, just so you don't go too far in the wrong direction.
Well, yeah, this is the first one. Appreciate the help. But I think it's still fucked.
Yeah. It's got a triggered ability.
I love it. This game is going to be faster and more exciting.
See, I feel like maybe in the future, this game might be more fun if he's pulling out of, like, a bulk rare box.
Tristan, you'll know this card because... Sorry?
Is it a Griffin Rider?
No. Okay, you're close, though. It is of a tribe.
That doesn't help me at all.
It is actually of, it is actually of two tribes. Well, like one, yeah, like, it's of a tribe.
From the Lorwynlock?
Yes.
Sends air?
No, it's the three words in the title. And it's white.
Dude, we got white so early. It was like, we killed white.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of up commons. Okay. So. Oh, it could be like Judge of Currents.
That's it!
Oh! Shit!
That's it!
That's still pretty good for our first one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even going to take any credit for that. You know, that's like saying my kid's half my kid because I donated a cup of sugar.
Judge of Currents is fucking sweet, right? I did a throwback Lorwyn draft like last year. I got invited by one of the other stores. They had just had a box and they were doing a private draft, so they called us over at the store and I was like, hell fucking yeah, I'll go. And I was talking to somebody right before the draft about sort of some of this, the good picks in it, because we've never drafted before and everyone just wants to open a Cryptic Command, right? So we found out there's the combo. Tristan, do you remember the Judge of Currents and the fucking whenever your merfolk become tapped, gain a life? No, that's that one. Yeah, Summon the School. So I ended up, my first pack one, pick one, was what's the fucking green avatar from that set? Not Genesis.
They're
like 6/6 for six. Yeah, pack one, pick one, Vigor. Okay.
I got
an austere command because somebody had a better card than that. So I had Vigor than austere command, which is like, it's just Wrath of God.
You've got two bomb rares to start the draft.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So then, pick three and pick four. Well, pick three was I picked up Oblivion Ring because they're common in that set. And then I got two of the Summon the School and two of the Judge of Currents. So my deck was like the literal fucking nuts. So then later in some packs, I ended up picking up two different incremental growths, because that was the card that my friend and I were talking. He's like, yo, incremental growth is pack one, pick one, right? Like the plus three, plus one counters, two plus one, plus one counters.
The Lorwyn Limited is a lot of creature stalls in general. That card really breaks that shit open.
Yeah, so then my other bomb was the 4/4 changeling with lifelink that just champions a creature. So I had, like, Vigor and a Board Wrath, and then a 4/4 with lifelink that I could give +3/+3, and then, like, my other creature +2/+2, and then, like, their creature +1/+1, because the 4/4 is lifelink. And then I would just start chaining lifelink from someone in the school. Needless to say, I won that draft handily, and won a Cryptic Command. It was awesome. Shout out to 1 Million Comics, hosting a sweet draft. That deck's insane, though. Yeah. Vigor. I think I had the white one, too. What's it called? Purity?
Yeah, that's a 6/6. I mean, it's like a 6/6 flyer, or sorry, a 5/5 flyer, or 6/6 flyer. Either way, for six mana. And the whole thing about the elemental cycle was, you know, their abilities could vary in quality. And obviously, the green one is, like, the most insane. But they all, like, shuffle back into your deck, and you can redraw them all the time. So they're like this never-ending problem for your opponents.
Yeah, and in Limited, that's just the best thing of all time. Right? What does Purity say? If a spell or ability would deal damage, do you prevent that damage and gain that much life instead? That's pretty good. So you have to die in combat. And it's a 6/6 flyer
for
6. Not
super big in Limited, but still a sweet card.
It's sweet in Limited when you have Ravagod. Yeah, so that was my experience with Lorwyn Draft and Summon the School. No, what were we talking about? Judge of Currents.
Yes,
Judge
of Currents. Yeah. Summon the School is arguably the most frustrating. Like, the merfolk have so many activated abilities. You know, like, you have the Drowner of Secrets. Or not Drowner of Secrets. That is the one I'm thinking of. With the Judge of Currents, like, there's so many ways for the merfolk deck to just be so aggravating in that format. That you have to enjoy it in a way. Not since Invasion Block, because there've been so many just weird onboard activated abilities and tricks. But that set is a lot of fun because we don't get that anymore these days. They've really moved away from that style of interaction in Limited. So, you know, the fact that you really like it, that hits home well with me because I'm used to playing that style of Magic, and it's seemingly like overly complicated for so many newer players.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. And obviously, like, I've drafted Cube before and, like, complicated sets and things like that. But, yeah, I had a lot of fun doing it. And the only thing it took was just to know a few of the, like the secret mythic pairs picks that are, like, actually uncommon, right? Like, when you're drafting Eternal Masters, Necrotal is actually a mythic rare at the uncommon slot. That card's just absolutely banana pants amazing. And there's, like, Duskwatch Recruiter is a mythic rare at uncommon. If for all those of you Shadows drafters out there, that card's like just insane. But talking about Eternal Masters drafting, Tristan, we did a PPTQ that was sealed Eternal Masters, which just sounds fucking
Ooh.
Awesome, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So $100 six pack sealed with a top 8 draft and prizing.
And that's $100 Canadian, cheap. Folks. So you American listeners, you probably could have afforded to do that as well.
12 Starbucks.
12 Starbucks, yeah.
See, okay. We've had this conversation. I feel like it's been on this show before. Maybe it hasn't.
Yeah,
now, you say 12 Starbucks, but I know for a fact that in Canada, Starbucks is very much a luxury item. It's not like here in Southern California where Starbucks is a reflex. Like, you go to Starbucks down here because it's too hot or you're not awake enough. Or you need to meet somebody to talk about a script meeting or something. Like, but in Canada, people don't treat Starbucks that way. Starbucks is a fancy pants place that, like, privileged college students can go to hang out, or like hoity-toity business types can stop in to grab a fancy pants drink that's not from Tim's. So, like,
100%
it's hard
true.
To,
absolutely.
Right. So it's hard to equate it the same way, because to me, it's like saying, hey, don't go to Tim's for a month, and then you could afford to do this. But I don't think it really works out that way, because in Canada, you can't not go to Tim's. It's kind of like it's necessary. It's like you go to Mars, you need to get oxygen. You go to Canada, you need to get Tim's in order to live.
Right.
Which is again, it's very an interesting connection there to me. Starbucks is so fucking fancy in Canada that you're almost like making fun of it in a way that I enjoy.
Yeah, it's great. So, what were we talking about? Eternal Masters drafting.
Eternal Masters,
that was awesome.
Drafting.
Oh yeah, the PPTQ. Okay, so we streamed it actually,
that's
Tristan. If you're like interested to put some, if you're interested, put some Magic on the background. Like, the fucking Limited format was really sweet. Check this out. We saw plays to the likes of this. Tristan, you know the card Peregrine Drake?
Yeah,
that sounds
I'm familiar.
Very familiar. Hey,
it's a 2/3 flyer for 4 and a blue when it enters the battlefield, untap 5 lands. So it's free.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so we saw such stellar plays as turn five. Exactly. Turn 5, Peregrine Drake, untap 5 lands. Peregrine Drake, untap 5 lands. Peregrine Drake, untap 5 lands. A 4-drop and a 1-drop pass the turn. So 20 mana spent on turn 5. Okay, it gets better. This same player untaps and plays Maelstrom Wanderer, which is the 7/5 all your creatures have haste double cascade. Okay? This player then loses. Then this player loses that game.
Fuck.
Figure that one out.
Well,
I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to give you the spoiler. Like, watch it. It's fucking amazing. But, like, you spend 20 mana on turn 5, then cast a 7/5 mythic rare that gives you 2 more free spells. Cast 8 spells in 2 turns, and your opponent still manages to find a way to win.
That's fucking
I saw plays in the limited format that were turn 1 Sensei's Divining Top. I will cast Force of Will, pitching my Maelstrom Wanderer on your Sensei's Divining Top. That's, like, amazing to just hear. This is cube magic, right, Tristan?
Yeah, that's what this
I saw,
is, man.
yeah, the finals deck, I got to interview the winner. His name was Duncan McGregor. He's like a judge from around the area and hasn't been playing Magic for a while. So I interviewed him, and he said in the top 8 draft, he said he saw pack 1, pick 1, Isochron Scepter, which for everyone at home is a 2-mana enchantment that you imprint an instant that costs 2 or less mana under it, and then for 2 mana you can cast it. So he said when he saw it that he knew he was going to pick it in the first, like, 5 seconds, and he spent the other 40 seconds, like, going through all the different instants in the format that he can put under it. And I was like, yo, Fog, right? Fog is the best thing that you can put under this, like, not close. And he, like, kind of laughed, and he's like, no, I ended up drafting 4 Tragic Slips.
Oh, yeah, he talked about this last week, yeah.
Yeah, his game plan was to just kill everything, and it worked out really well. So, I know people that were, like, casting, like, you know, turn 2 or turn 4 Jace the Mind Sculptors, and just amazing, amazing things that you want out of a set, and if you can draft it, Tristan, like, do. Whether you, like, sneak away from life and do it on Moto or whatever, or for a friend's birthday, buy them a box and draft it. But it's really, really fucking sweet. I saw someone put a Vampiric Tutor under an Isochron Scepter. That was pretty good. When I drafted it, I got to draft a bunch of tokens and a bunch of, like, 1-mana sacrifice creatures, like Carrion Feeders and Benevolent Bodyguards. But then I end up with the Neverless Disc and a Blood Artist. So I just would make a bunch of creatures and not really do anything, and then play a Neverless Disc, and then just play Blood Artist to win the game. Just sacrifice all my creatures, like, blow up everything. It was so much fun. There's so many, like, archetypes. There's so many ways to play it. Like I said, I know people that are 15 drafts in and still having a good time.
Awesome.
I'm glad to hear that it's actually, like, taken off like that. Like, I was hoping that it wasn't going to just be another, like, oh, this is a mediocre fucking limited set, and there's just a bunch of fucking money to be opened in it, that it's actually...
Well, to be perfectly honest, it's like the hype is gone because everyone's forgotten about it, but the format itself is fucking sweet, and, like, these 2 weeks were, like, it was basically, in my opinion, like, a pretty much close to perfect master set, because we're not out of the product yet, and people are still happy to draft it, but the cards are still valuable, and that's something that, like, really... really, really sweet, right?
Yeah, I agree.
So that's really awesome. Eternal Masters is sweet.
No, I'm stoked about it.
Like,
I'm definitely not gonna open them just because I was like, I'm not probably going to draft this set because I don't usually draft things. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna go buy a couple packs, and they were garbage. But I'm actually, like, after hearing you, you know, talking this weekend, last week about it, like, I may go buy a draft set and just, you know, maybe even just draft the set with, like, a couple friends kind of thing. Like, not a full A-Man pod, because I'm not going to actually go sit down and fucking...
This will be the type of thing, Kevy, that if you and, like, Gumby or, like, you and Tristan, like, actually meet up to, like, sit around and draft on Moto and just get fucking wasted and yell at your computer. It would be, you guys would have a blast doing it together. Like, I was actually considering, like, maybe trying to hit up Maddie and get him to, like, Skype draft with me, and just, like, I want him to do that to play that Mono Green Walls deck, because I just want to, like, play Magic with him. But yeah. I would, like, Kelly and one of our media hands, Bo, for the stream, did an Eternal Masters draft for our Thursday night last week, and it was just fucking sweet. They went Tribal Hondans and, like, killed it.
Oh, yeah. Did you talk about that? Or
yeah, I think so, but I was pretty drunk, so I don't remember. So, yeah. But, yeah, they definitely got to go, like, they had, like, 3 of the 5 Hondans, so.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Fucking Champions Block old school. Good times, man.
Well, shit, boys.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Do you have more to talk about on this, Tony?
Do you guys want to talk about conspiracy?
Well,
man. Dude, we're oversaturated. We're I still want to play EMA right now. We got all this Eldritch Moon shit happening. Like, man, it's the summer. Go outside, kids. Don't be, like, completely consumed by Magic.
But in the Eternal Masters booster packs, they had, like, a conspiracy thing, right, on the tokens?
Didn't they? They got to.
Do you have your packs handy, Kevy? Like, do you have your tokens? Like, did you just open them and put them on the counter like everyone else does?
Yeah, usually I do, but I think I set them down out here somewhere. Hold on, let me look and fucking see. I know I've got them.
See if you can find the tokens. See if, I have a pack. I have a couple packs right here. Because I'm a fucking junkie.
I'm looking.
Tristan, have you seen the tokens? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So flip it over. Look at the back of the tokens. And they have, like, half words on them.
I saw like the one Reddit post. That's kind of about it.
Yeah, so it's solved now. It's 121 tokens wide, and the lines reads top to bottom and left to right. And it's about Marchesa saying that she's the proper heir to the throne now that Brago's dead. It's really fucking awesome to read.
That's fucking crazy. I didn't even notice that.
The other way is a letter from someone else saying that Marchesa's a fucking lying whore and that she deserves to be fucking killed, and everyone who follows her are traitors.
Ah.
So if you find the Reddit post, it's really sweet. It's 121 tokens. Someone put it together and solved the puzzle.
Crazy.
But it's really fucking sweet. We drove home from Montreal the other day, so we had a lot to do. A lot of time to kill,
yeah.
But find this thing and read it, because it's fucking sweet. And just as awesome as the, like, Innistrad and Zendikar storylines are, like, this is just as sweet, too. Like, this is just a supplementary set that goes alongside, but it's, like, kind of a set for Legacy players, too. Like, it's kind of their set that they get some sweet, weird, busted shit to play with, usually. Like, Council Judgment and True Name Nemesis and Toxic Deluge. Like, all these cards are specific from, although some of those are from Commander. But the Conspiracy one, like, Council Judgment, like, all these cards are, like, really sweet that they can put these cards into Legacy. Through these supplementary sets. So they usually make some pretty fucking powerful cards in these sets. So drafting Conspiracy was a lot of fun. I did it. Did you ever get to do it, Tristan?
I'm a huge advocate for Conspiracy. I have been for a long time. And I feel like with every new supplemental release, like, my love of it is just, like, more unnecessary. Because they, like, will reprint more cool shit that you wouldn't think they'd reprint in an outside set. And, like, again, like, Eternal Masters is a great kind of, like, man, you're kind of taking pot shots at a set like Conspiracy, because that used to be a great place to find Swords to Plowshares and Brainstorms and, you know, Foil Misdirections and, like, you know, really hard to find shit, and the format was a lot of fun. It was something you definitely want to do with friends. You're like, I'm sitting on boxes of Conspiracy still, and they're not really going up the way I would hope they would have, because they've got so many other great supplementals. But, you know, there's a resurgence there for me. I hope the next one that comes out is that same kind of fun. It's just a hard sell, because it's not the kind of thing that you necessarily go to play competitively at an FNM, because the environment is, you know, it's supposed to be kind of a friendly 4-6 man draft. And so you need to get everyone together. I mean, we did it at the Cave with Kevy and David, Marcel, and those guys. We had a great time when we did it. So I love that set.
Yep.
I vaguely remember doing that.
There's okay. The Periscope is still in the archives. You can see part of it.
Yeah, there is that.
It's the heat. It's getting to you. I understand.
The heat, the vodka, it's all getting to me.
I mean, I think if there's one place that's not super hot that we'd all rather be, I think I know where it is, though.
Yeah, you do. And you know what?
Canada?
Yeah, fuck them for having gorgeous weather all year long.
All the fucking time. God fuck damn that breeze.
Fuck them for having a beach.
It's always
fuck
so nice.
Those guys.
How about you go fuck yourself, San Diego?
Bow, down, down, down.
Oh, I remember bow, when you used to do that.
The train! I'm coming at you like a dark horse. show.